B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Kutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Kutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, John Wallach, Joe Murray in for the guys. We had a couple of Patriots cuts there right before the top of the hour. Christian Wilkerson, the wide receiver, and Dee Virgin out as well. So there you go. A little bit of movement there for the Patriots. 4 p.m. deadline today. The big one we're all keeping our eyes on is Stephon Gilmore. And, well, whether or not he'll be back, or I shouldn't say back with the team, on the 53-man roster or not. For more on all of this, Patriots roster decisions, quarterback decisions, we welcome in Will Brinson. He's a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com and also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And, Will, I was alerted to a tweet you had yesterday about the Patriots quarterback decision. You said it makes sense to keep the Dolphins in the dark regardless. Defensive game plan for Cam and defensive game plan for Mac are completely different. Good gamesmanship by Bill Belichick, especially against a division rival coached by former Patriots defensive coordinator Brian Flores. So I'm of the mind that maybe there's value there, but I do think it's a little overrated. And I guess I don't understand why Bill is dragging his feet. He really sees that much value? Like Brian Flores' brain is going to be blown by which quarterback shows up on September 12th?
No. You don't surprise the opponent. What you do is you, like, all right, let's say, let's say that your wife calls you and she says, we're gonna have a party at the house.
Okay.
You're like, all right, cool. And you're like, what do I need to do? She's like, well, I'm going to let you know the day of whether it's going to be like a fiesta themed or whether it's going to be Irish themed. And you're like, well, okay, that's great.
Well, then I do what I normally do, and I wait till the last second, and then go to the grocery store right before the party's there. Then that's what I would do, and I would just adjust.
Right. You're you're Freddie Kitchens, right?
a very good comparison,
so,
Will.
But you don't think they're preparing either way? Like that's not going to throw them off that much.
That's the whole point. You got to prepare for two guys.
No, but they would do that independent of the announcement. What if Cam Newton gets hurt on the first series? You got to prepare for either guy either way.
Yeah, but not. I mean, like, but I think that Cam and Max specifically are so diametrically opposed. I mean, just Cam Newton is just unique, and I think the closest comp really is Jimmy G and Trey Lance in San Francisco. That's probably why Kyle Shanahan is also, you know, more than willing to play both guys in a third preseason game and make. I mean, not that I think he's trying to like make Dan Campbell's life hell or anything, but you have to prepare for two uniquely different offenses with Cam Newton and Mac Jones. I mean, Cam Newton, you're going to have power run quarterback. You're preparing for quarterback power run plays being called, and with Mac Jones, you know it's more of a traditional offense. So I think that's very Belichickian. You're just stretching somebody a little bit thinner than they need to be stretched in an important time. And so a little bit of gamesmanship, I don't mind it.
It also seems to be very Belichickian that he will lean on the veteran over the rookie at quarterback. And it seems that all signs are pointing towards Cam Newton to be the starter. I assume you agree with that. And assuming you do, and I've been asking everyone this, why is he doing that in the face of evidence that Jones should be the guy?
Yeah, I mean, it would... You know, very traditional to go with the veteran. I know a lot of smart people who follow the Patriots, like Tom Curran's been writing for weeks that he thinks that Mac Jones won the job. I think I said this last week, but I do think that Cam Newton's apparent, and I mean, I'm running with this assumption based on how the protocol has been followed. His lack of vaccination has to be concerning for Belichick for the same reason. That if you spend, your wife's like, we're having a fiesta theme, and you do whatever you have to do for 4 days, and then on Friday she's like, psych, it's Irish themed, like if in the
you guys
same
throw
way,
a lot of theme like, parties, it sounds like. You
know? I'm trying to think of something that my wife would do I don't know. There's the first thing that came to mind. But I mean, the point being is like if you're Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and you spend all all week preparing an offensive game plan for the entire team designed around Cam Newton. Again, a uniquely different game plan than what you would have if it were Mac Jones. And then on Friday, Cam has, like a cleaning lady come over to his house to test positive, and then he's a close contact. I mean, whatever it is, you know, like any reason where you could have to report a close contact, and all of a sudden he's out for 10 days and you have to completely redo your game plan. I think that weighs kind of heavy on Bill Belichick, because that's not, you're putting yourself at a competitive disadvantage if something like that happens. So I don't think that he's definitely going with Cam, but I guess that's the drumbeat even in the face of Mac Jones playing. Or Mac Jones playing really well.
I'm sorry, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, Will, you watched Cam Newton all those years in Carolina. Do you think he's done? Can he still be an elite runner in the NFL?
I don't think he's done. I thought we saw, Joe, enough of him before he got COVID last year. I know he wasn't good last year, but I thought we saw enough of him before he got COVID last year in a weird offseason. He was clearly, to me, affected when he came back after that Chiefs game, after missing that Chiefs game, that we saw enough of him last year, and then we've seen enough of him in the preseason where I don't think he's toast. He can definitely still run, and I think he's still got – he has something zip like that. The ball that was intercepted, it was like a hot topic, whether it was his fault or Jacoby's fault.
Yeah, it was his fault.
I mean, I'm a Jacoby guy, too, so I'm not going to blame either one of them. I'll blame the defense, but Deval had a plenty of zip on it. I still think Cam Newton's got enough in the tank, and I do think Belichick and lots of coaches will err on the side of if you got a first round rookie quarterback, you got to go with the veteran out of the gate and try to win games with him. And if you have to, you got to bench the veteran for the rookie, then bench the rookie for the veteran. Because when you bench the rookie for the veteran, for dumb reasons, it inherently brings up a lot of awkward questions like, oh, man, was this a mistake in the draft? Does this guy have it? Why can't he play? And it's tougher if you're a team like the Patriots or the 49ers or really even the Bears where your expectations are the playoffs.
Oh, are you buying the latest rumors on Deshaun Watson? I guess I'll preface by saying, you know, one reason that I think there could be some movement is, you know, he's about to be due $10 million in a couple of weeks when week one rolls around. So I am putting some stock in it. I'm curious if you are.
What are the latest rumors?
That he could go to the Miami Dolphins, that he could be dealt before week one.
It's a battling thing. The rumor is that Houston and Miami has emerged as the front runner, and then Barry Jackson in Miami says, well, Miami has backed off. I mean, where do you think negotiations are? What do you think the odds are that he gets dealt?
I just wanted to make sure I was addressing the correct.
Yeah, right. There have been a lot. That's true. Yes.
I don't think that. So. I think here's what happened. I think the Texans are leaking out other teams' interest as aggressively as possible. But, all right, if you want to, just think about who's in charge of these various front offices. I mean, it's Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio. I think they're flooding as much information of Deshaun Watson interest out there as possible, because they are essentially screwed here. They're going to keep him active. They're going to keep him on the active roster. They're going to have to keep him inactive on game day, which, again, competitive advantage out the window, because you're now, you're starting at 52 men because you're just not going to play him, and you have to pay him his money. And so, in a perfect world, they're trying to inflate his price as much as possible, and other teams are interested but not willing to do. I don't think willing to do anything until there's some resolution on the off field stuff. I mean, if you're Miami, you might love the idea of trading for Deshaun Watson, even though you've got Tua Tagovailoa on the roster, right? And you could, you can try to figure things. I mean, because Deshaun Watson is a franchise-changing quarterback if he's able to play. But if you're the Dolphins and you fancy yourself a playoff team, and I have to think they do, you can't trade for Deshaun Watson now. I think a lot of teams have inquired. I think a lot of teams are willing to pay well under what the Texans want for Deshaun Watson, and the Texans are flooding the market with a bunch of rumors to try and keep his price up when they know that they can't trade him until the off-field stuff is cleared up.
All right, he is Will Brinson. You can check out his work at CBSSports.com. He's an NFL senior writer there. You can also listen to the Daily Pick 6 podcast there as well. Will, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, boys, have a great day.
See you later.
Will Brinson, as all our guests, joins us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Is it a Fiesta theme party?
That was bizarre.
Is it a St. Patty's Day party?
You go to it once, and then if you go back again, it turns into a problem. Yeah. I don't understand that at all, the Fiesta. And what's the whole
idea? Either way, I buy beer. I don't know. Either way, I buy beer. It's not that hard.
Well, I was just going to say, other than Cinco de Mayo, how many Fiesta-themed parties are there?
That's a good question.
Joe, you're the party man.
Dia de los Muertos, I believe, is
I'm just wondering,
one, yes.
the house party that I wasn't invited to, was that Fiesta themed?
That was a Mari Mixer. That was not Fiesta themed, but, you know, we could have Mardi Gras. You know, we could do that. That could be a Fiesta themed party.
All right.
We could just have Liquid Sundays, just if you wanted to.
Well, that takes me back. That's a long time ago.
Sunday fun.
Yeah, just any excuse to have some margs, some margaritas.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, cover yourself.
Get Margarita Mondays.
Get beer either way. I think
no problem. Yeah,
I think that would be my plan. But anyway,
Taco
Tuesday. That's
Wallach Wednesday Fiesta.
That's always a Fiesta, man. That's tomorrow.
So I do think that's overrated. I'm not saying there's zero value in making them prepare for two, but they're going to prepare for two either way. What if Bill uses both quarterbacks in the game? Like, they're going to prepare for two either way. So I don't think it makes any difference if Bill announces it or not. 617-779-0985. I will continue with all your feedback. I do want to get to COVID testing in the NFL, something we didn't get to there with Will. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Adam Jones, John Wallach, Joe Murray, in for Toucher and Rich here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Cut down day today in the NFL. The deadline is 4 o'clock. Although Wallach made the point earlier, Patriots practice is, what, like 2:30, 3 o'clock,
something like that? 3 o'clock.
So at worst, we're going to find out all the cuts at that point in time because there's only going to be 53 guys standing out on the field. I don't think Bill's going to be cutting people mid-practice. I don't think. And, you know, they have their mind made up on who they're cutting. It's just a matter of when they announce it to the media, and I'm sure they'll wait to the last second to do that. But some names are coming in quickly. We mentioned Christian Wilkerson, who I didn't get the push in the last, like, couple of days. Oh, maybe they'll cut Gunnar Olszewski because he had one bad drop and keep Christian Wilkerson. I've seen, like, 5 bad drops out of Christian Wilkerson, and apparently he's had frying pan hands at training camp, too. So I never thought he had a real chance to get on the roster.
I'd keep him around, though,
if he can get on the practice squad. Great, yeah. He's been on the practice squad here before. So yeah. Sure, fine, that's fine. But on the 53-man roster, over Olszewski, like, I'm no special teams guy, but like, if you have a guy who's good at returning, I'll keep him over
all pro.
And neither one who can catch, I'll keep the guy who's at least good at returning over two guys who can't catch. Like if that's my choice, I'll take the guy who can at least return. Yep. But there's an interesting cut that you just told me about, Joe. It was Matt Lacoste has been cut by the Patriots, right?
Yeah, I thought they'd keep him for the simple fact that he'd be insurance for Henry or Smith or even Asiasi for that matter.
Okay, but so that's why it's interesting. It's not interesting they cut Matt Lacoste. I don't even care about that. It's interesting for two reasons, and you just said both names. Number one, that means they feel pretty good about Hunter Henry's availability week one, right? If you're cutting a depth tight end, I imagine that's a good sign for Hunter
Henry.
He's been
hurt too, Lacoste, right? He didn't participate in any of the joint practices with the Giants.
So I didn't even know that.
He got hurt against the Eagles, and he's been out.
Okay, so he's not even playing. Okay,
I think that's another part of it.
So never mind. Yeah. So then it doesn't tell you anything about Henry. Yeah. And the second piece is, I was going to say it's their confidence level in Asiasi, but maybe it's not that either if Lacoste has been hurt. So that's true. I haven't seen him in any of these games, I guess, now that you brought it up.
Decent performance.
No, he did. And I don't want to fall for the the Asiasi flash game in the second half of the final preseason game any more than I wanted to fall for N'Keal Harry like lighting it up at training camp. But at least if Asiasi shows you a little something, you're like, okay, I had thrown in the towel. I had given up on him. I'm like, he's a bust. And he showed more in that game on Sunday than he had shown before. And maybe, just maybe, there's a little something there with Asiasi. But he's no better than your third tight end. And, you know, even if there are injuries there, I wouldn't feel overly confident in him as your second tight end. So anyway, those continue to trickle in throughout the league. Have there already been any notable ones throughout the league? I mean, the Patriots' most notable one probably so far is Wilkerson.
Yeah, Peyton Barber and Carolina, a backup quarterback. Will Greer, I mean, those kinds of things.
Yeah, so not much in terms of moving.
No, no.
As far as receivers go, which I'm still, I think the Pats might need to grab one, Antonio Gandy-Golden was released today from Washington.
Yeah, he was a rookie last year, right? Yeah,
and then the other Keyshawn Johnson might be someone to take a look at. Maybe he'd be available. He had 30 catches a year ago.
The other Keyshawn Johnson from Fresno.
What is this? He got cut yesterday. Keyshawn Johnson. I forget his
name. Yeah, the Lions cut Rashad Perriman. That was yesterday.
Perriman's another one.
Oh, Perriman's a good... Actually, Perriman's a good one.
And that was yesterday.
If they brought in... I thought they tried to sign him a couple of years ago in free agency. I think that's what it was.
But Perriman was so-so even. Not even so-so with the Jets last year, right?
I thought he was pretty good when they played the Patriots anyway. I didn't pretend to watch a lot of Jets games.
I don't think he did very well for the season.
Maybe not, but again, that's not what I said. I said I thought he did pretty well in the games against the Patriots that I saw last year. I don't know what his overall numbers were, but I thought Rashad Perriman looked okay in the minimal Jets games. I didn't try to make a big habit out of watching the Jets a lot. Yeah, I guess is my point. But hang on, in the Patriots 30-27 win, he had 101 yards and two touchdowns, and in the 28-14 game, he had 84 yards. So he was good in both Patriots games last year. So Perriman would be a good signing. And that'd be a good upgrade on somebody like, if you're looking to replace Gunnar Olszewski on the roster, that'd be a guy. I know you like another receiver, Joe, Golden Tate.
Yeah, I like Golden Tate.
I'd take Perriman every day of the week over Golden Tate.
Perriman's 5 years younger. Yeah, and by the way, you mentioned
Tate used to be good, not so much anymore.
What were the numbers for Perriman last year?
It was like 5 for 101 and 2 touchdowns and then 84 yards in the other game.
Okay.
3 catches for 84.
30 catches, 3 touchdowns for the season.
So like I said, I don't know.
Great against the Patriots, lousy against everybody else.
I don't know what he did in his other games, but the two that I didn't watch a lot of the Jets. The games against the Pats, I thought he looked pretty good. That's all I was saying.
What about Devin Funchess? He just got cut from the Packers. Cam Newton and him, a lot of rapport.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
From
but
the
then
Panthers days.
I don't necessarily want to bring in more guys for Cam. I'd like to be.
I was just going to say. I don't think we need to cater this offense to that guy.
Calvin
We're
Benjamin's
trying to get rid of him as it is.
Too, so who knows?
Yeah. So anyway, so those are some of the notable names around the NFL. Not anything too noteworthy yet with the Patriots. I mentioned this, and I wanted to ask this to Will Brinson, but we were so busy making party analogies that we never got there. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network tweeted out the updated COVID protocols. The NFL and NFLPA have agreed to regular season COVID protocols, which they've been negotiating back and forth, which include weekly testing for fully vaccinated players and staff, an increase from every 2 weeks, and a voluntary second weekly test per source. Players with vulnerable cohabitants may elect to test daily. So there's going to be more testing going on, even for vaccinated players. There's no change in status for the unvaccinated. Effective immediately, fully vaccinated club medical staff, strength and conditioning coaches, and equipment staff will be required to wear masks when providing treatment. This is probably a direct response to what happened with Buffalo. They're going to be wearing a mask even if they're vaccinated. Fitting equipment or directly interacting with players inside the club facility, not outdoors. More from the protocols. Players who are not fully vaccinated will not be required to wear masks at outdoor practices or walkthroughs, including the practice bubble. Masks are still required indoors in meetings and weight rooms. That's one thing we've been trying to do, and I know Jeff Howe just told us yesterday he doesn't want to read too much into who's masking up and who's not out on the practice field. I bet the reason they're changing that outdoors, the unvaccinated don't need to mask up, is because I think everybody's kind of able to read between the lines and figure out who is and who isn't.
Competitive advantages, I understand.
Yeah, and I guess I think it's silly, but the privacy component to it as well.
Well, again, you're a professional athlete and you're going through a league, or you're playing for a league that is trying to set rules for the safety of everyone. I mean, I understand personal freedoms are very, very important, but when you sign up to play this sport, there are inherent risks. Death is not one of them. I get that. And there is that outside possibility you catch this thing. It happens. But ultimately, you're going to have to get vaccinated to play this sport. It can cause too much damage to owners that are spending a lot of money on your performance. So if you are, and this goes back to the quarterback controversy, quarterback discussion we had yesterday, especially if you're a quarterback, you have to get vaccinated. There's too much riding on you.
No, for sure.
In this sport, you must have it done. And I, as I said, the personal freedom angle is great. You also have the option not to play this sport. That's the thing. You want to keep your personal freedom. You can't get paid $80 million, and you can't have so much pressure riding on you for 53 other guys to rely on you.
Your personal freedom only applies, only takes you so far. Your bosses have rules, and if you don't follow them, there goes your personal freedom. By the way, speaking of the vaccine, Dan, I thought, had a good tweet here. Dan says that Bill Belichick wasn't angry at Cam Newton when he left to go get his medical procedure and then missed 5 days subsequently at training camp. The reason he wasn't mad is because the medical procedure, Wallach, was Cam getting the vaccine and will be ready for week one.
Fantastic.
I like that. Theory.
That's a good conspiracy theory. That's one that actually might make sense.
Well,
that one actually might make sense.
I like it, except why do you got to go to North Carolina or wherever to get the vaccine? Like, why do you got to do that? But, like, if he got the J&J shot...
Why doesn't he go to the CVS down the road?
Why do you got to leave the state to get the vaccine?
Point. That's a good point.
But let's say that's what he did. He's comfortable with, I don't know, whatever doctor.
His own
there.
Doctor doing
yes,
it.
Yes. Let's just play this out. Let's say that's what he wants to do. If he got the J&J shot, he would be ready for week one, right? That timeline would line up.
Right about there, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, if that were actually what happened, and they had put it out there that it's a medical procedure, and they re-put it out there this weekend. I don't know if you saw in Mike Reese's notebook over the weekend. Reese, like, emphasized that. It was, like, a high up in his notebook. And you know the team is saying, hey, can we emphasize again that he left for a medical appointment? Like, let's not gloss over that. Like, he didn't just leave to leave. He left for a medical appointment, and there was a misunderstanding. I don't know why you'd want to champion that he needs the some sort of... health appointment, some issue going on with him, but I believe the team wanted that back out there to make it sound like he wasn't just leaving just to leave, right?
Yeah.
If he left to get the vaccine, and it's like Bill's like, look, we'll sacrifice 5 days to get our quarterback vaccinated. All right, fine. I don't know why you'd have to go through all that dog and pony show and jump through all those hoops, but if that's how it went down, fine.
Is that why maybe they're waiting to announce a quarterback? Maybe to see if he has any
positive tests in the meantime.
Anything at all, like, you know.
Ill effects to a shot?
Ill effects.
Could be. Could be.
Because when
I don't think so. I think Bill knows what he wants to do, has known what he wants to do, and is just, you know, being purposefully misleading. But Paulie in the truck says he knows why Cam Newton is starting. Why is that, Paulie? Oh, can we... is he not there? My mistake.
Is he there? Paulie!
I did leave him on hold for a long amount of time. Is he not there?
He's probably screaming at this point, and we just don't have him potted up.
Yeah, you can call middays. 617-779-0985. That's the number there, Paulie in the truck, if you want to call up Beadle and Zoe. Feel free to do that. Joe Murray has all the latest here in your Hub headlines, and we're right back with the stack.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, it's the stack. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. No Fred, no Rich. Jones, Wallach, Murray. We're here till 10.
That's right, till 10.
Why?
Till 10 o'clock, Joe. 10.
Well, I see. You're checking out a little before 10.
I had to record the update in case there was a gas leak.
I can't throw stones because I have done that, and Dan has gone from zero to Irish in like 5 seconds each time, and it doesn't do me any good. I've made that mistake more often than I can count.
You besmirch me, John. I do not. Nope.
And then
not Dan.
Are you some other Dan O'Brien I'm not aware of? I see.
And then people thought I got wankered. or Phil McCracken.
Yeah.
When I mentioned Wayne, D-Virgin.
Wayne space Curd is what happened. Yes.
Yes, yeah. Wayne
People don't Curd. Believe that D-Virgin is a real player.
It is a real
D-Virgin
player.
D-Virgin is a real player.
As is Isaiah Zuber, who is out, out this morning.
Zubes. He had a touchdown catch. He also dropped a touchdown in that game.
Zuber is out. Wilkerson out.
Nice receiver reverse option.
So I guess that whole...
Yeah, that's about all he did.
That conspiracy theory that Gunner's going to get cut is out the window.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's getting cut unless they're bringing in my man, Breshad Perriman, who I want. There was another couple of cuts in the secondary. D'Angelo Ross, who had a nice game the other night, and Miles Bryant as well, who I know was on the roster last year for a large chunk of the year and got hurt early on this season, this preseason rather, yes.
Had an interception Rams game?
I don't know, but yes.
It was a big game.
Yeah, actually, you know what? That might be right in that blowout game that they got smoked in. So a few more cuts coming in. I don't want to steal Zoe's thunder. I thought Zoe had a good off-air thought on what the Patriots could be doing at corner and how, you know, D'Angelo Ross being released and how Miles Bryant being released could tie in. So stay tuned for Zoe and Beadle coming up at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, what else have we missed? Wallach, you dropped something in that I guess Sham Sharanya put out there yesterday that, or in the last handful of days, that Philly continues to move forward on shopping Ben Simmons. There's not a great feeling in Philadelphia that Ben Simmons is going to be back.
The question is, and Sham's had it's like a notes column. It's like something you read on Sunday morning in the Globe. It's a notes column, and he dropped it yesterday on The Athletic. And his point was, the feeling around the league is, it's not if Philadelphia is going to trade Ben Simmons, it's when. And the question is, when do you do it? And my theory is, they got to get it done before the beginning of the season if they're going to do it at all. Because God help them if they get off to another great start. Like, I think they started 28-12 last season.
They were great, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you get off to another great start, I don't know if you can mess with the chemistry again. I understand that in the playoffs he was a liability and he can't shoot from the outside, but if Embiid and Simmons are rolling again and they've won 28 of their first 40 games, can you really make that huge deal involving draft picks?
No, well, so here's, I guess, my question that spins off of it. All right, Philly's shopping Ben Simmons, and they may still move him before the start of the year. Is that good or bad for the Celtics?
Well, it depends on what they get back. If Philadelphia
isn't
goes...
But isn't it bad? It's bad for the Celtics because it doesn't work. That Embiid and Simmons, it doesn't work.
No, I agree.
It doesn't work. So shipping out Ben Simmons would be a positive step for Philly, which is a bad step for Boston.
True, but if you get back Damian Lillard somehow...
Oh, if they get back Lillard, then it's definitely a better move. Yeah. Or they're definitely better off, and it's a bad move for the Celtics.
That's correct. So I think ultimately it depends. I don't know what Philly's holding out for. I think they're holding out for a massive, like, 3-4 first-round draft picks, whatever. I don't think Simmons is in that category. Now, Fred Tucher is here, and he would disagree with me. But I don't think Simmons is the type of guy you give up like 3 first round picks and 2 pick swaps for. Damian Lillard is, by the way. I don't think Simmons is that
guy. Yeah, I mean, if it's Lillard and Embiid, then you're really screwed. If that's what's going on. Now you're in the same division with Brooklyn. The Knicks have gotten better. I mean, Toronto's a mess. But the Knicks have gotten better. You're in the same division as Brooklyn, who I think is going to win the title this year, although in fairness, I thought they'd win it 2 last year, and they did not. And now Philly's got Embiid and Lillard. You're screwed. So I just think moving Simmons, I don't even care about the return. Moving Simmons would be a bad thing for the Celtics because that means Philly is going to stop. They're going to start to break up what doesn't work. And this is entirely consistent by me. I think the Bruins need to just move on from Krejci, which they did, and Rask. Not yet. They haven't on Rask.
They've moved forward. If Rask comes back,
it doesn't sound like it. He's talking last week like, oh, I might be coming back. I might be a cheap option
It's a complimentary role as opposed to a starting role.
Don't get sidetracked on the Bruins thing. My point is that sometimes teams just need to switch up what they're doing. Sometimes it doesn't work, so you need to switch it up. I would say the same thing about the Celtics. I would say the same thing about the Bruins. I would say the same thing about the Sixers. They need to break up what they're doing there because it won't work in the end. So I don't even care if it's 75 cents on the dollar for Simmons, getting rid of him is a positive step.
Short of a Damian Lillard acquisition, if you trade Simmons for Lillard, that's great. And the salary, I would imagine the contracts are close. I haven't done the math. But I agree. It hasn't worked, even though Doc Rivers stepped in and made it work.
Kind of.
Ultimately.
Regular season work.
Right, well, yeah. And I was saying ultimately it didn't work in the postseason because Simmons, you know, did what he did in that playoff game. And the fact that he still can't shoot from the outside is a killer for a team like Philadelphia, which was primed to make a run. Clearly something needs to change. But if you're Philadelphia and you have Embiid and you just sign him to that supermax contract, you know, is it worth it to get just four draft picks for him and salary filler?
I don't know. What can you flip those draft picks for? I don't know. So, I mean, maybe
you're going to have to. It's more than a one-step process.
I'm saying maybe there's a longer-term play to it. But anyway, I think them moving Simmons would be the first move and maybe having to take Philly seriously. So there's that. And again, if they get Lillard, that's a great, great move for them. I don't know if that's the direction that'll be going. I just logged out of my email like an idiot. Hang on. Where is this next story that I wanted to discuss? You see what's going on, Wallach, in China?
Yes. Is that where we're going?
Yes. They are limiting screen time now. They are limiting screen time for children under the age of 18.
Okay. To what?
In China, I believe it's to
3 hours a day?
3 hours per day.
Okay.
For each kid, where is it? No, 3 hours per week. Excuse me.
Oh,
is what
God.
I believe it is. Why can't Why can't I find the stupid story?
See, if I'm a parent, I'm pissed. If I'm a parent, I'm really pissed.
Why?
Why?
Here you go. Let me set it up properly. China brought the hammer down on young gamers by restricting the allowed, and I'm reading here from Axios, allowed time to play online video games to a maximum of 3 hours a week.
All right, and that's different.
Hours a week?
That's different. Online video games, that's different.
Authorities have decried, just specifically online, you're right.
Yes.
Authorities have decried gaming as a spiritual opium plaguing the country. China's gaming regulator told state news agency Xinhua, "Teenagers are the future of our motherland. Protecting the physical and mental health of minors is related to the people's vital interest. The latest rules are an escalation on previous regulation, allowing for 1.5 hours of online gaming each day." So it used to be an hour and a half online. Now it's 3 hours per week online. Your thoughts, Wallach?
I think that that's probably a good thing. Honestly, I think that's a good thing. When you said like 3 hours online total each week, I'm like, oh, that's the parents are, much more engagement is needed. Parents won't get much done at the house if they're constantly having to entertain their young children. But ultimately, is that a bad thing? Honestly, in any way, shape, or form, you're a dad. Is that a bad thing?
My kid is not at video game playing age yet. I guess that's not true. He thumbs around on his tablet, I guess, with like some online games.
And that's the thing. Now, my kids are 12 and right in the heart of this.
Yep.
So my twin boys are 12. I would love it. I would love that regulation. That regulation's fantastic.
So, but they're still playing video games potentially. I hadn't even caught that delineation there. This is online.
Yes.
Online. So
3 hours of online a week.
But the kids.
Fine.
But the kids play like Do the kids play with like a hard setup, hardwired gaming console anymore?
No.
So if you're gaming, it's only online nowadays.
Yes.
Right?
That's correct.
Okay. So maybe that's not an important stipulation then. So 3 hours a week. I don't know how often I've said this in my lifetime, but good for China. Good for China. Cutting down on not just screen time. There's still plenty of screen time.
Yes.
You want to watch your TV, fine. You want to peruse the internet, fine.
There are educational purposes to this. There are educational possibilities to that as well.
3 hours a week. Plenty. It's plenty of gaming. For kids under 18, plenty of gaming. Online gaming, that's plenty of it.
Yes.
And, you know, when I get annoyed with my kid, I'm probably going to be pulling my hair out at some point that he can't game any longer if that was a stipulation here. But, yes, good for China. Good job limiting the screen time. Good.
Fantastic. Joe, your thoughts?
Which 3 hours would I take? Would I do three in a row? Would I do a half hour at a time?
Oh, so that's a good question. Yeah, how do you split up your 3 hours?
Saturday from 7 until 10 in the morning. How does that work exactly?
Do you just grab like a couple of Jolt Colas and save it for Saturday night and then just stay up for 3 hours playing the...
Now, do they have guys monitoring that usage between midnight and 6?
Yeah, it's China. I imagine they do, yes. I think they have a pretty firm grasp on your online...
Probably true.
The online ecosystem there, yes. Those under 18 can only play from 8 to 9 p.m. on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So that blows that out of the water. Can't save it for 3 hours on Saturday night, Joe.
Well, you give an hour Saturday night, huh?
All right, so that last one, I'm jumping off board a little bit. Only the 1 hour on the
weekend. Does that include, like, online betting?
No, I don't think so.
There are 16-year-olds that are interested in that.
Online gaming, so I don't believe so.
Online gaming. You're 16. That's fine, right?
Wife.
Get the online card and go to it.
That's true.
So that means you can only get... So those are your only 3 hours, as I read that now a second time. You can only play from the 1 hour, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Friday, the 1 hour on Saturday from 8 to 9, and the 1 hour on Sunday.
But that doesn't include online gaming.
It does.
Per se.
That doesn't.
No, what I was
gambling.
That includes online betting. Doesn't include.
Oh, I don't
online
think
betting.
It includes online gambling. No.
That's okay. Those times suck.
Yeah, it's not great. You can't play any. Can't play any video games Monday through Thursday.
Like, I used to watch SNCC growing up at that time. Like,
you can still watch SNCC. This is online gaming.
Yeah, but
oh, I see. You would rather nine? You would rather watch SNCC than
yeah,
play
like,
video.
Ren and Stimpy than watch that. You know, Are You Afraid of the Dark? That was the jam.
I was. I Are You Afraid of the Dark was a touch spooky to me as a kid. Yeah, what else was on SNCC? Was Ren and Stimpy on SNCC?
Ren and
Stimpy,
we had Clarissa Explains It All.
Was on SNCC?
Yeah.
Okay. You watched that?
I was Salute Your Shorts.
I was more of a TGIF guy. I was more of a TGIF guy.
That's right. Than, step by step.
Than a SNCC guy.
Rocco's Modern Life was on SNCC.
Yeah, well, TGIF. Yeah, yeah. Boy
Meets World. Boy Meets World. Family Matters.
Step by Step.
Step by
Full
Step.
House.
Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, TGIF was a lot better than SNCC. Much better than
Mark
SNCC.
Curry was famous for how long? 5 years, and that was it?
Did Hanging with Mr. Cooper get 5 years? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Remember the other show they had with the chick basketball player? Hang Time?
Oh, I do remember Hang Time. Was that part of TGIF? Or just that was like a Saturday morning show.
Saturday mornings, yeah.
That was like a Saturday morning show. Was Sister Sister, Tia and Tamara? That was part of TGIF.
I might have been.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, 4.5 years.
Oh, wow. What a great over-under, though, for five.
September 22, 1992 to August 30, 1997.
I would have taken the under on five, so there you go. But it almost made it there. It almost made it. You know what did make it? The flying car. We have a flying car.
Whoa.
It's the Jetsons, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a prototype flying car. It completed a test flight from two cities in Slovakia. So I don't know. Was Zdeno Chara operating this thing? I'm not sure. But two cities in Slovakia. Where now? Let me get again. Where the flight went from and to where. That doesn't matter. But the prototype car has completed a test flight between those two cities, spending 35 minutes airborne. Klein Vision's air car flew between, Nitra and Bratislava on Monday, according to a press release published Wednesday. The air car prototype 1 is powered by a BMW engine, 160 horsepower, and comes fully equipped with a fixed propeller there, Wallach.
Is it electric or gasoline powered?
Oh, boy. Well, now you're asking me all
Well, I mean, it matters. Gas prices are through the roof. You're paying three. I mean, does it? How many miles of flight to the gallon do you get?
It's a good question. It can go 186 miles per hour. 300 horsepower engine is going to be in the prototype two.
Fantastic, but how do I gas it up?
What's it going to cost me at the pump? It's a good question. I don't know.
It's very important.
I know. In my perusal of this story earlier, I didn't quite read that deep into the story, but I can perhaps.
I mean, do you have one of those helipads you land on with a plug to plug into?
Well, you know, my answer to you is you were sent the exact same link that I was, and you could have clicked around and gotten your answers.
You're the one who brought it up. I don't know. I didn't look at it. Had I known there was going to be math here, I would have studied.
I was accused of being Freddie Kitchens earlier in the program.
That was a good comparison.
I was here doing my homework, but I will have to get back to you on an answer about how far the gas mileage is going to be.
Freddie Kitchens is kind of an insult.
Oh, you think that's kind of an insult?
Are you guys really going to go back to this now? I mean, you guys had that moment there during the last hour, and we're all working together again. So, I mean, I want to make sure there's peace in the valley out here.
At least occurred before 10.
I heard the comment. I think I'm surprised you brought that up again because...
Here we go.
I didn't like that comment, Jones. I'll agree with you.
Oh, you didn't like it? I didn't like it very much either.
Will Brinson.
The coaches are going to be flummoxed all over. Who are they starting? Who could it be? Cam Newton. Is it going to be Cam Newton or Mac Jones? If Bill made the announcement that it was going to be Cam Newton, you know that they would only prepare for Cam Newton.
Yep,
did you know that?
Right, yeah.
That would save the Dolphins so much time. They wouldn't prepare for Mac Jones at all. Cam Newton's so good, there's no possibility that Mac Jones would enter the game in the second half or maybe get hurt or maybe Bill would use them both like we've talked about, using two quarterbacks. So that would completely eliminate the idea of preparing for two quarterbacks if Bill made the announcement. It's just so overrated. That whole thing's so... That's not even just Will Brinson who says it. A lot of people say that.
I like how we ended the show.
So who's coming up next, Freddie?
Oh, well, that would be, of course, the Zolak and Bertrand program with Hardy.
Yeah.
I already teased Zoe's big takeaway.
Oh, that's
on
right.
Zoe's big takeaway from the cuts.
That's right. Stay tuned
for that.
On some
of these cuts in the defensive backfield.
Yes.
So
we
don't
blow up your spot. You got it, Zoe. Don't worry.
You can jump in line for them, 617-779-0985. They'll be on the other side of the headlines here on the Sports Center.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.